Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I am blessed and rearing to go, bro.
Amen, amen. Important topic today. How are we doing over there, Tony, our show's producer? How are we doing?
I am supremely blessed.
Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I would say this, guys, when it comes to this subject, I think as a ministry, Good Fight Ministries, this might be, it's right up there, right towards the top of the one of the passions of the ministry here is talking about and absolutely repudiating and hating baby murder and the topic of abortion, which is what we're going to be talking about today. I just wanted to mention real quick for you guys, we've actually now up to 25 people have now joined us on Patreon, and we're just so excited to have you guys on there. We actually answered a question for a young lady on there last weekend, and I believe right immediately she heard us answer the question, heard us talk about Patreon, and then I saw that she had signed up, and we were really blessed by that.
We had some good conversations on there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Tony's...
I had to set the record straight on my allegiance to my team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we're pretty excited about that. So I want to thank you guys for that, and thank you guys for sharing this and getting this out, keeping us in that top 60 area of the entire world globally on Chartable concerning all religious, or not even religious, spiritual, faith and spiritual, which includes atheistic podcasts as well. So interestingly enough, and so we wanted to thank you guys for all of that and just being a blessing to the ministry. And when it comes to that, we want to be able to hopefully give you guys those answers, those questions that people may bring up, stuff that you may see all the time online. That's always been the goal of our Facebook page, teachings that Joe does for Blessed Hope Chapel on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's been a goal of being out on the streets, but also equipping you guys with these answers that hopefully, if we get you a half hour of it, that you'll be able to concisely put together things that if you're talking with your coworker, you're talking with people in the streets, if you're somebody in high school or junior high school, yeah, it's right there. First time, yeah, I've been talking to kids as a wrestling coach. They're young kids talking about abortion. And because their teacher's like, oh, Planned Parenthood's not that bad. They don't get that much money from abortions. Well, let me explain how they get more money from abortions. Mm-hmm. Let me explain how they take you through all these tests before they murder that baby, which is what they want to do. But nonetheless, with all of that, we don't just want to talk about Planned Parenthood. By the way, you can find our video covering Planned Parenthood and the fact that it's the racist underbelly that it is, that it was trying to kill black babies, exactly what their disgusting Margaret Sanger founder wanted to do. But with all of that, we want to talk about the apologetic nature of asking the question, because this is how it is always posited. These questions are always given to us. In fact, they were sent to us. One of them was sent to us this week, and I said, okay, maybe that would be a good show to do. And it was on abortion. And what about some of these things concerning abortion? Can you get an abortion? And that's what the question is. When is it okay to have an abortion? I'm going to get you guys just real quick, right in the beginning, we're going to bury the lead. Never is the answer. But let's keep Amen. Going, because we're going to be asking
Chad,
the questions.
Are you saying it's never all right to murder your baby?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's right.
Just so we can be clear before we even get into the rest of the answer. But nonetheless, that is what we want to talk about. When is it okay to give an abortion? I think this first one could be, I would say, probably the most difficult one to answer. So that's why we're going to start with it and hopefully get to the other 2/3 as we go forth. But Joe, is it okay to murder a baby when the life of the mother is at risk?
Yeah, and we definitely acknowledge that there can be incredibly, you know, tough situations. But before we get into the specifics, rape, incest, the life of the mother and so forth, let's make it real clear that the Bible is very, very clear on this subject. And we don't have time to get into all the scriptures, but we've done that before. I mean, there's so many scriptures on it, right? But God commands us in Genesis 9:6, before he even gave the law to Moses, just the law, just, you know, laying down his word before the law of Moses even came, whoever sheds, this is chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, law of Moses, you shall not murder. You go to Jesus' teachings, he talked about you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, and so forth. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 19 talks about that there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And I can't think of any more innocent blood than an innocent baby. And no one doubts anymore, unless they're willfully ignorant, that a baby in the womb is alive or not. I mean, it's just biological science. It's a living, moving, when you have a living, moving, growing entity, it's alive. And it's important to understand that. And it's not canine life. It's not feline life. It's human life. It's the killing, a murdering of a human life. Now, it's important that to understand how Jesus, how God in the flesh regards the life of an innocent. We could go back to Exodus and show how, you know, if the baby had died, there was further injury and the baby died, that person's life was held accountable.
Have two men fighting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, God would have the life of the one who caused the the miscarriage to be put to death. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, and verses 10 and following, Jesus says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it's better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. I mean, think about this. What about, is it okay? It's okay to cause a sin, but no, that's wrong. But murdering them, no, that's not wrong. No, Jesus, this is horrifying. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So I just think it's fascinating that these children, and keep in mind, not from after birth. I mean, what did the Lord say to Jeremiah? You know, before you were formed in the womb,
yeah, Jeremiah 1:5, yeah.
Amen. And Psalm 139 talks about how he knew the baby in the womb.
Yep. He formed him, yeah.
And Jesus goes on to say, what do you think? If any man has 100 sheep, or he says, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones, their angels are continually, you know, the Father, he talks about leaving the 99, going after one, and so forth. So it's important that we understand that the Lord says in Deuteronomy 27:25, cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. And all the people shall say amen. And there are doctors making just incredible amount of money, driving really, really nice cars and living in really, really nice houses because they take the easy way out and they are, you know, for hire, basically, to kill babies. But you know what? And when the Israelites were killing their babies, or they're in Judah when they're killing their children, and they were sacrificing them to Moloch and to the Baals and so forth, they're in the Valley of Topheth, and it's interesting what the Lord says, how they were basically polluting the land with blood. And think about this in light of the 61 million plus babies that have been killed in America, and how not, I'm going to be one, if one innocent baby was put to death and we didn't do anything about it and allowed so-called laws to butcher more babies, it would be wrong. But 61 million, look what the Lord says in Jeremiah 19. They have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places of Baal or Baal to burn their sons in the fire and as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree. It did not even come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. Now, it's interesting. You brothers, both of you guys have been to Israel with us. Some of our Israel trips, one, two, or more of them. And we've seen this valley. You know, it's the Kidron Valley is where this was taking place. And they were taking this beautiful valley right there next to the Temple Mount. We've stood on the Mount of Olives where the Lord prayed in Gethsemane. Looking, it seems like a stone's throw away, but you'd have to have a really good arm. Cross the valley to the Temple Mount. And it's just incredible that you're just standing there. But it's amazing, this valley in between was where they were literally sacrificing their children, burning them to Baal, so they could have more material success. Millions of the abortions that take place in our country are for mammon, to the god mammon, so people could have more money. Oh, we can't afford this child and have the lifestyle we want, or what have you.
Yeah, and that's, you've seen that recently with celebrities. You know, Michelle Williams is one of them. you know, where they've come out and said, hey, the reason I was able to do this, Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks,
yeah, Stevie
right?
Stevie Nicks recently.
The reason why Fleetwood Mac exists because I was able to murder my baby. The reason why I was able to get this job is because I was able to murder my baby. The reason why I have this Golden Globe is because I was able to murder my baby. They were sacrificing that baby for me.
Right. In the past, they may not speak up so much. It was something to be ashamed of, and they knew it deep down.
Yeah.
But now, because they've become so brazen in their callousness against
Shout
God.
Shout Your Abortion is a campaign
Shout
online.
Shout Your Abortion, that's right.
Yeah.
And you know, not long after that started, as you mentioned, Stevie Nicks came out and said she basically sacrificed her child for her success, and that's why she's successful. And we got into that in another show, but we want to get into some of these issues here. By the way, Jesus used the term Gehenna as a reference to the lake of fire, and where their worm does not die, and the smoke of their torment, or their fire is not quenched. And that's what the Valley of Hinnom became. It became a garbage dump. And that's because the Lord said we call the Valley of Slaughter. And when he brought that judgment, and then it became this garbage dump, it became a picture of hell, which I think is really, really heavy.
Perpetual flames. It was always on fire.
Yeah, because of the fires, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. As far as a mother's life goes, I know it's a very, very difficult issue. And I would hate to be in that position. But I would hope a doctor would personally seek to save both the mother and the child's life in every instance, you know? It's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because when you look at the life of the mother, so-called exception, you have guys like Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who is one of on the forefront of the pro-life movement, after himself committing more abortions than I think anybody. He's on record of killing 30,000 babies. And then he realized what he was doing. When technology was brought forth, he realized, wow, I'm killing actual children. And then he wrote in his technical bulletin, quote, in our first book, and this is after he stopped, you know, doing abortions, we opposed a lengthy list of illnesses, including but not limited to heart or kidney disease, which would justify abortion. We regard that list now with disbelief. If women with heart and liver transplants can be carried successfully through pregnancy, we can no longer conceive of any medical condition which would legitimize abortion. I think this is interesting. In short, we have slowly evolved to the unshakable posture of no exceptions. Goes on to say a little further down, workable, morally acceptable legislation prescribing abortion can have no exceptions written into it, not even medical ones. So that's interesting coming from this guy, from Nathanson. And it's interesting. I mean, there are situations where you have an egg. My wife had a tubal ligation where the baby was conceived in one of her fallopian tubes, and the fallopian tube burst and her belly was filling up with blood, you know, and we had no idea what was going on, and her belly was getting bigger and bigger, and she's not very heavy. She's good shape. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? And she didn't realize it was getting bigger and bigger. She thought maybe she's a little bloated. She had this incredible pain, though. And she was wondering if she should go to the doctors or what, and called a great nurse friend of ours. She happens to be my mom. and she's always, you know, the tough one as far as like, nah, just stick it out. You'll be okay. You don't have to go to the emergency room kind of thing. She's an emergency nurse, right? And she just told her, hey, just relax, see what happens, see how you are later, but you should be fine. And it just got worse, you know, and she ended up, got really worse. She called her doctor and he said, oh, you should be fine. But he called hours later, probably around 11:30 midnight. He goes, I couldn't go to sleep. Believer, by the way, Dr. Brown, back before he retired, he's like, you know what? I want you to meet me at the hospital. And sure enough, man, not too much longer, she could have been gone because she was bleeding to death, you know, and she was just, you know, and God has a way of telling us often, you know, with the way he's created the body with pain and so forth, that there's a very severe situation. So, you know, they had to, you know, give her blood, everything else. And there was the fallopian tube had burst, you know, because the baby was growing in it, you know. And there's situations, so there wasn't an abortion there. That was, you know, God's the way of dealing with the situation. The baby never would have been able to come to term. But there's folks who have a tubal ligation a different way, where there's a baby growing in the fallopian tube, very small, but still a living baby, but they have to cut out that part of the fallopian tube to save the mother's life. That's not even considered an abortion. because it's not a willful attempt to end the life of the baby. The baby would never survive that situation anyway, but it's to save the life of the mother. So you really can't even call that an abortion. You have the same thing when a mother's uterus is removed because she has a baby, because she has cancer of, or I should say, you know, the ovum, you know, or uterine cancer. And those aren't legally considered abortions. So, but when there's a situation where, you know, liver or what have you, with Dr. Nathanson looks at, these are no longer good arguments because it's incredibly, really incredibly rare where mother's life is actually on the line because she's pregnant, where they have to terminate the life of the baby to save her. And in that case, I personally believe if the doctor can, you know, from a believer's standpoint, my wife and I would decide the doctor should do what he can, if he can, to save the baby, not just the mother's life. But this brings us to some other issues that are very intense issues, but I believe there's really good answers, which I'm sure you're going to talk about next, Chad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And also, I wanted to point this out before we even get into the rape and incest talk. Remember, when you're discussing this as well, that typically when someone is bringing this up, if you simply ask the question, okay, if abortions were okay for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, would you then be against all other abortions? And then you can actually get to the real, the thing they're actually asking,
right?
Which is, they're using an exception in order to say, because of these exceptions, we should be able to murder babies ad nauseam.
Right, and what the point that you make there, Chad, is really, really important, because they're using it with the opposite angle of the mind. Exactly, they want to put you on a slippery slope. And you know, that happened with George Bush, you know? He was, you know, being asked on these issues and he was fully pro-life, but then all of a sudden he started making exceptions. And then when you start denying the person, if the baby is a person,
and that's what you're getting into right now,
you know, yeah. I mean, that's a huge issue. And but you're right; you have to flip the script. Say, okay, what if you conceded that? Because we won't concede that.
No, we would never. Yeah, no.
Because we believe the child's a person.
For person,
you should do whatever you can to do is change to save the person, right? The baby. But let's also keep in mind there's studies that have shown that the amount of children that are born, let's say with regard to rape and incest. There's studies that have shown it's about 1 out of 1,000. So such a rare issue. There's some studies that say, oh, 1% or 1.5%. But, you know, a lot of those who've come forth and saying, you know, said, oh, yeah, I was raped, have come back later and said, well, yeah, I didn't say I was raped. I said I was raped, but I wasn't, you know. So when you look at the, you know, and I can't say, I haven't done, you know, peer-reviewed study on the exact percentage. I've looked at different studies, but it's the outlier. But we still want to look at the outlier, and we still want to affirm that, wait, if we're dealing with a child here, it's still wrong. And let's talk about why these things are important. First of all, are we to punish, and you guys can think of a scripture on this too, should we punish a child for the sins of his parents?
Ezekiel 18 would say, no, that's not what God does.
That's right. And I have that scripture right here, 18:20. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father. So you don't kill a child because of the sin of his father. You don't kill a little girl who was born because of the sin of her father. She also has a mother who, if she was raped, she's a victim in this issue, this situation. So it's important to keep in mind that we're dealing with an innocent person. By the way, children aren't even held accountable before God,
yeah,
you know, until they reach an age of accountability. So you're talking about a totally innocent child that you're killing. And, you know, we would ask the audience, think about it. What if you found out that sometime later in life, let's say you find this out tomorrow. Wow, your mom, if she's alive, or a relative shares with you, you're basically the result of a rape, you know? Does that mean you should die? Does that mean you should commit suicide? Does that mean you should hope there's a law that could put you to death because of the sin of the guy who raped your mother? Absolutely not. That would be horrifying. Or let's say, you know, think of somebody you love. Think of, you know, think of a brother or a sister or one of your closest friends, and you found out that, wow, they're the product of rape. Do you think they should be put to death? I mean, let's answer that question. Obviously not. That would be very, very, very wicked. And I think so. It's important that we really think this through, because, you know, and killing your child, killing an innocent child, doesn't erase what happened to the woman.
That's exactly right.
You know, it doesn't. Doesn't also just, oh, that didn't happen now. It doesn't promote healing at all. In fact, it creates another victim. And by the way, the irony here is a rape is a result of someone overpowering a victim. Well, guess what? Killing a baby is just like that. It's a somebody with more power terminating an innocent child's life. And it's rape is horrible. But you know what? Murder, you don't go to prison for rape as long as you do for murder. Okay, so you're committing an even worse crime, even though both are horrific and we condemn both of them biblically. They're both condemned. So, and I just think it's very interesting, the liberals who say, well, yeah, it's okay to kill the baby. We should kill the baby. Yeah, if there's been rape or incest, that baby's life should be terminated. But guess what? Guess what these liberals, same liberals, say about the rapist?
They should be killed, yeah.
When it comes to their life, 100%. And I think of Ezekiel 13:19 when I was thinking about that. It says, you have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread by lying to my people who listen to lies. You have killed those who should not have died, like abortion today, and have spared those who should not live.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, all rapists should have the death penalty, but guess what? I leave that before God and the courts and so forth. But I do say this, when you treat the rapist with more love and mercy, who's guilty of a heinous crime, but you call for the death of an innocent baby, that's wicked, and that's what...
Yeah, he lives on, and the baby dies.
That's right. That's what liberals are doing. Yeah. So when you really think this through, we have great answers that are biblical, that are fully reasonable and logical, and outdo the logic of those who would call for the death of innocent babies. So I think it's important that, you know, some will say, yeah, but if you allow that baby to live, you know, and that woman has to carry that baby and so forth, it's just going to be so hard on her, it's going to torment her for the rest of her life and so forth. But you know what? That's actually not true. There's a book out called Victims and Victors. And I was looking at an article, Abortion Politics and Rape and Incest Exception, way back from 2000 in System Magazine. And it was interesting because this is also in Victims and Victors. And David Reardon and his associates, they used the testimony of 192 women that they had, you know, checked out their testimonies who had experienced pregnancy because of rape. And 55 children who were conceived through so many of these pregnancies, obviously. And guess what? Their opinions, when they checked out what they were saying, is the very opposite of what liberals would want people to think. In fact, and I quote, Nearly all the women who conceived due to rape or incest then had abortions said they regretted it. Nearly all of them. Of those giving an opinion, over 90% said that they would discourage other victims of sexual violence from having an abortion. Wow. On the other hand, of the women who conceived due to rape or incest and carried to term, not one expressed regret about her choice.
Amen.
That's amazing. That's amazing, guys. So there's all kinds of there's alternatives too, you know, and I'd encourage, God forbid you're ever in that situation as a woman or a wife with her husband and a family. But guess what? What Satan means for evil, God turns for good. If you seek the Lord and cry out to him, he promises that he'll cause everything to work together for the good, for those who love him, that call according to his purpose, and that he makes everything beautiful in his time. And that child could be a trophy of the Lord's grace. And if you couldn't bear bringing that child up because of the experience, at the very least, we would hope and pray that you wouldn't murder the baby, but that you would give the child an opportunity to be blessed in life, and that you would give that child up for adoption.
Yeah, amen.
And bless a family with, you know, have received a child with adoption or through adoption.
Yeah, and just as a quick side note, because I've heard this argument for this case as well, and we're going to move into the incest one as well. And I just want to bring this up because I've heard so often from same people like, but you don't understand, people are going to come in and they could be poor, or maybe they have Down syndrome, there could be something wrong with the baby, so that's why you should be able to abort it. I want to know this. Which one of you are taking your AR-15s and blowing away all of the poor on the side of the street? Which ones of you are wanting mandates to murder all of the poor on the side of the street? Which one of you are asking to kill little babies with Down syndrome?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to go through me to do that, too, because I have a niece that's got Down syndrome. Some of the sweetest people.
Yeah.
She's one of the most beautiful people on earth, yep. Megan.
And yep. You have countries... You have countries, literally like Denmark and Sweden, that brag that they don't have Down syndrome babies anymore because they murder them all. And this is what's going on.
Out, and they're only
going
to be under God's judgment.
It's eugenics.
He will judge the world in righteousness and truth.
Amen. And you guys think that, I was saying this to somebody else as well just recently after the abortion, they tried to ban just late-term abortions in Colorado. Okay? And over 60% of people voted that babies... I mean, I'm talking about late-term abortion, guys. You're cutting off the heads of little children. 60% of people refused to put that ban together in Colorado. And tell me you still think that most people are good. Your neighbor, who you think is a nice person, probably believes in cutting babies apart and vacuuming them out.
That's what happens when you're a state that encourages people to become potheads.
Yeah, that too. That too.
It's really sad.
So now for the last case, because we got about, I don't know, 3 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. What about in the case of incest?
Well, since we only got a few minutes left, incest is basically the same thing.
Yeah, personhood,
it's
right? It's always
rape.
It's rape.
That
too.
If it's in a family, it's rape. And you know what? The Lord, someone who commits that, and upon a young lady, I personally believe that you know, that's a crime.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But again, do you murder the innocent child? No, it's a person, it's a child created in God's image, you know, and we have to realize that, you know, Jesus is the creator of life. He's called the Prince of Life. Amen. And the life is in the blood, you know, and people make the most ridiculous arguments. Somebody just made one I think it was a Hollywood celebrity recently that, well, if there's an umbilical cord, you know, umbilical cord that's still attached, you know, they're not breathing yet. And, you know, you hear that argument that, well, you know, when God breathed upon them and said, you know, they became a living soul, and it's not until they take the first breath. Yes, I had debated that a little bit with, my wife Lisa's unbelieving grandmother when she was still alive, and she had some strange beliefs, you know. She said that we're all in a dream, and she could prove it from scripture. You know, she's following some guy named Neville, you know, rhymes with devil, and I see why, you know. And she said, look, the Bible says God put Adam to sleep. Where does it say he ever woke him up? We're in a dream. So when you think like that, it's just like hard to get to people. But it was heartbreaking because I let her know. She said it wasn't until you come out of the womb and take a breath. A lot of people believe that. People are unaware that you're breathing in the womb through the umbilical cord.
Right.
That's where you're getting your oxygen. Long before you come out of the womb, you're already breathing. And you know, the Bible basically teaches life starts at conception, and it's very clear, I believe. In fact, when right after Jesus was conceived, John the Baptist, who was about 6 months older in his mother's womb, Elizabeth's womb, rejoiced. The Bible says he rejoiced because the Messiah had come into the world.
Yeah.
That's at conception. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan's all about. But he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Yeah, I think one of the things, if you just get this down, I think overall the theme, and that's why you started with it, was the scriptural points of stating that it is a person.
Amen.
That it's a person in there. And once that is established, guys, it's very simple. Is the baby in the womb a person?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. From scripture, from science, from everything we know. If the baby is a person, are you able to murder it? Absolutely not. Are you able to murder it if somebody did something really bad to conceive them? Absolutely not. You go against God and it's over. You've lost.
And I just tag on to that. Hey, guess what? If you're not sure one way or another... Guess what? You're on the side of not murdering someone. Amen?
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, please consider visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/goodfight. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-JC-TRUTH. 528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.